Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance and our friends at Navy Federal Credit Union, where they have a mission to put members first by making their financial goals the priority. Learn more at NavyFederal.org and join today. Clinton Yates here giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. He'll be with us for a couple of segments. Dave McMiniman will join us at 11:30. So, Clinton, were you listening to our parallel universe conversation?
Absolutely, was listening to your parallel universe conversation, and I just wanted to make something clear. There's no way that Keyshawn could be the black Clark Kent, because Clark Kent has to be a white guy. That's his whole appeal, is that he looks just like everybody else, and nobody thinks twice about a guy looking like that walking down the street. So if it was going to be a Keyshawn Superman, it'd have to be called Black Superman specifically, because that would be a totally different situation.
I was just envisioning Dwight Howard, basically, in that ESPN commercial. You know what I'm saying? With Hannah Storm.
No, I love those commercials. Dwight was great with that. I mean, everybody who's taken on the Superman mantra over the years has been pretty good, between Shaq and Dwight, some other people. It's been fun.
Yeah, for sure. So, Greg nailed it, though. Greg, you're going to get grief for that. You know that cut is going to play tomorrow on the morning show. When I asked you what would the alternate universe Keyshawn be in, you literally, the first words out of your mouth were humble.
Yeah, super humble, actually. Yeah. And then, like, LZ, the way that I look at LZ, too, in an alternate universe is he's like Aquaman in those commercials where he takes off all his body parts and he's super thin.
Yeah. Jason Momoa. Yes.
Yeah, Jason Momoa.
And even the dreads come off at that point.
Right.
You know, speaking of alternate universes, George, I was tweeting earlier today because there's something I have to admit that I do. I spend a decent amount of time daydreaming. And because I live in Venice Beach and because I'm constantly just thinking about baseball, I have this weird daydream where I think about owning a team called the Venice Beach Palms. And basically they're like a single-A squad, nothing crazy. But you know how different ballparks have those different big heads, like, that run around at the different points of the at the innings? The Nats have the Racing Presidents, the Pirates have the Pierogies, and so on and so forth. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Well, I think that in memory of White Men Can't Jump, the fantastic movie, the big heads for the Venice Beach Palms would be Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes, and of course, Rosie Perez on rollerblades.
There you go.
That was an iconic image of the movie, with maybe the Tucci brothers chasing them every once and again. A young man can dream. That's all.
Oh, there you go. I like it. I like you as a – now, you would have to get like a broadcast crew. I mean, in L.A., you could get plenty of people.
Yes, I mean, we could fill this out with all of our friends and family. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole idea, is that everybody would be involved. And I don't know where they'd put the stadium. I'm not into all that in terms of the daydream. But the Venice Beach Palms, it would be fun.
I like it. What I don't like is what Jared Dudley had to say on his Zoom call. And it's not about Jared specifically, but just about some of the details that he laid out about the NBA's bubble campus plan. And in those details, he basically said players will be allowed to leave the bubble. You'll be allowed to leave. And now, just because you leave, if they're gonna give you that leeway, if you come back with corona, you can't play. Now, I don't know if he means like you're done for the rest of the season or not. You know, and he also added, well, it would be somewhat selfish. I would pause there and say, no, it would be tremendously selfish if you left. If they're going to do this at Disney World in Orlando, where you have a 40-mile radius and 25 resorts, and there's plenty of room for you to roam around those 40 miles, is there really a need to leave that area? Like, I just feel like that seems – I would be upset if one of the players on one of my teams left that campus environment.
Absolutely. And let me just say this. The messenger is key to the message here. I love Jared Dudley, been around the league forever, thoughtful, smart guy. But when we talk about 10 to 12 men who may not necessarily be getting on the court a lot, who might want to find a reason to leave the facility to actually do something, Jared Dudley is a guy that comes to mind. And so he's probably thinking about himself as much as anything in this situation, saying, no, it's fine if somebody leaves every once in a while. They're not doing anything anyway. But in reality, you're right. Why would you do that? This is the time to pack it in. If you're going to have a situation in which you've got a sprint run to the championship and your team is doing that well, stay your butt at home. What are we talking about here? That's the whole point. I don't get this at all from Jared.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, again, I don't think he was he was talking about himself necessarily.
No, but I mean,
right.
If there's one guy who's going to wander on a roster, it's going to be a guy that's at the end of the bench. Who's
right,
veteran,
correct.
Who probably has better things to do, for lack of a better term.
Right, correct. Now Bergman went immediately to the strip club route and James Harden, and he feels that being at Disney World could confine him. But Bergman, you say there are statistics that say that Harden is actually better when there are no strip clubs around.
Yes, there was a Reddit guy that put together a list of the best ranked strip clubs and how James Harden has played in those cities, and he plays better with worse strip club cities.
Noted. The Reddit guy, is his name Reg Fergman by any chance?
No, I'm not a Reddit guy. I am not a Reddit guy, which is shocking.
You know a lot of things, but not a Reddit guy.
Yes,
okay,
exactly.
So anyway, yeah, I just think it's crazy. Like, and if you're the NBA Players Association, why are you allowing this to be a loophole? Like, my guess is the league doesn't want anybody leaving, but the Players Association, because it has to be a negotiation, the union has to sign off. They're, you know, that's kind of their one caveat, or maybe one of several caveats. But why, if you're Michelle Roberts and you're Chris Paul and these guys, like, why would you even put this on the table? It just doesn't make sense to me.
I know, and also from a PR standpoint, if the players are coming across as looking as if they're not even, I don't want to say grateful, but not even respectful of the process that is being created in order for them to continue to make money. We talked about Blake Snell last week. That's extra weird, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like, well, if we get to this point, you might want to actually be focused. Presuming it's not an emergency, what would be the need to leave anyway, beyond just sort of the obvious, I don't know, you know, free will, which I get, but if we're all there for a certain reason, it would seem that you would want to stay with your eyes on the prize. This seems like a weird element to sort of introduce at this stage of the discussions about how we get back to the court.
Next is the Paul Pierce top five, and he's actually tweeted, apparently Game of Zones, the Bleacher Report series, the digital series, has a new episode out where he is the king. Paul Pierce is the king, and he took a screenshot of it and tweeted it out and just said, enough said, debate over, with a bunch of crying, laughing emojis. But look, the Paul Pierce top five, like, I'm not surprised by it. I actually texted Paul yesterday. He didn't respond.
I was going to say, you guys are pretty tight, right?
I don't want to say tight, but we're friendly. You know, we've worked together. Okay. So I texted him, and I jokingly said to him, hey, thanks for the content. You know what I'm saying? Like, but, you know, look, it's silly, I think. I've said that. Like, but I get that he would have to include Bill Russell. And here's the thing. The Kobe Bryant part of it is the part that's the rub, right? Like, he's going to have to include Bill Russell as a Celtic, and he probably would have had to have omitted Kobe Bryant. And that probably would have caused a little bit of a stir, but not this kind of stir. And clearly, it's personal between the two.
Yeah, I mean, and look, Paul Pierce was a great player in this league. And Paul Pierce has, you know, the trophies to prove it. But Paul Pierce was never generational. And I think that Paul Pierce viewed himself as such because he had the talent to be. It just took him so long to be on a squad that anybody respected that by the time that came around, that discussion was over. And I still think that there's part of him that's upset about that. And I completely get that. You know, if you look back at the draft classes and the eras that Paul Pierce came from, you would think to yourself, if you didn't actually watch the basketball and you just read the stats and saw the ring, you'd think, okay, well, Paul Pierce is probably considered one of the top players of his era, if not at the top. That never happened, you know? And I think that now that we see, especially in these times, capital times, we're looking back and assessing all these things about people's careers, Pierce is probably a guy who's looking at it like, yo, your boy had a pretty nice one too. Don't forget, you know, but as a result of things like The Last Dance and things like obviously the situation and having to take stock of Kobe's entire life and career and the LeBron discussion, Paul Pierce is the guy that even of that generation will just never get discussed on that level. And I can understand why he would be a little tight about that. You know what I mean? To the point that he could make some jokes online for people.
Right. It's the Draymond stuff, right? Like, they don't love you like that.
I mean, and that, to be fair, that was one of the meanest things I've ever heard somebody say on an NBA court to another person. And I've heard a lot of things, but it's probably true. And that's what's so unfortunate about that is that being able to having to face that reality is unfortunate. But Paul Pierce is a nice guy. He's a great NBA personality as well.
Well, I'll tell you this. I agree with everything you said there. But I'll tell you this. Kobe Bryant and Dwayne Wade won championships with Shaq in their prime. In his prime still. At the end of Shaq's prime, Dwayne was able to play with Shaq. I bet you, if you give Paul Pierce and Tracy McGrady, two guys that we work with here at ESPN, if you ask them if they got a chance to play with Shaq in their prime, do they have, like in Tracy's case, do they have a title? And in Paul's case, does he have more titles? I bet you they both would say absolutely.
Sure, but that gets into, if I might be mistaken, did Shaq not end up on one of those Celtics teams at the end of his
run? It was like 30. That was old 30, number 36 Shaq. Like,
no, I know. I'm just saying it's a funny thing to think about because that actually happened later in a way that was never going to produce, bear the fruits we're talking about. But, yeah, of course they would. But that speaks to Shaq's greatness. You can't just discount other people because of that.
I agree.
If my grandmother had two wheels, she'd be a bicycle. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of ifs that go into that. And I think overall, T-Mac is a different situation than Paul. But Paul is just looking back on his career thinking, dang, what could have been? They could have loved me more than they do. Draymond really messed them up, though. That's so cold-blooded, man. I still actually don't love that happened, as funny as it might have been.
Did you hear the Perkins story, though? Like what Kendrick said about the history between LeBron and Paul? Laura, if you have that sound, I want Clinton to listen to it. It's about 90 seconds long. So Kendrick Perkins was on Hoop Streams yesterday with Cassidy and Amin, and he told the story as to basically the genesis of the beef between LeBron and Paul. So let's hear Kendrick.
Here's the thing. Paul Pierce's list is personal, right? Because we don't talk about this enough, but Paul and Bron have never liked each other since Bron's rookie year. Here's a backstory to this real quick, and then you could understand why LeBron is not on Paul's list. We're playing in Columbus, Ohio, my rookie season, against the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? Now, when LeBron was coming into the league, he was getting a lot of heat from players. His first preseason game is against Paul Pierce. So Paul is talking noise to the bench, right? He's talking big noise to the Cavs bench, and they're sitting over there. Bron and them, they all sitting over there, Drew Gooden and everybody. So Paul actually spits over there at the bench, right? The ultimate disrespect, okay? It ended up turning up. I mean, after the game, both teams were meeting in the back. We had the guys was ready to fight. We had to hold people back. Like, it went up from there. Ever since that moment.
And it was a clear spit. It wasn't a Rajon Rondo spit.
Clear spit. Ever since that moment, LeBron James and Paul Pierce hate each other. They don't speak to each other, even now today. I don't know if you remember, Cassie, we was doing Hoop Streams in Houston against the Lakers. You remember LeBron walked by us and said something before his pregame shots? He did not speak to Paul. That's the backstory. So I think Paul list is kind of more personal towards LeBron than just saying, because it's no way in hell that you could say LeBron James is not top five. You may not have him as your GOAT, but to say that he's not top five, that's just crazy. And I love Paul, but that's kind of, I think it's more personal than anything.
So there you go. Yeah. That's the story.
I mean, think about it this way. Paul Pierce was arguably the best player in the country when he was in high school, right? I know he was a McDonald's All-American because I remember how sweet his S-curl looked before he went to Kansas, coming out of L.A. He was a big deal. He was a big deal at Kansas. Was a big deal coming into the league. I can see how a player like that in his era looked at a guy like LeBron and basically said, nah, B, you ain't getting any of my respect off the rip. That's just not something I'm going to do as what I am, as who I am and what I've been through. Now, I'm sure he didn't expect LeBron James to turn out to possibly be the greatest player of all time. However, at the moment, I'm sure it made sense to him being Paul Pierce, a guy who was celebrated early in his career as well, for him to be throwing shade at LeBron, and it just didn't work out for him as well as it did for LBJ. I can see how that makes sense for sure.
So there's the story. There's the back. Yeah, and by the way, spitting, even if it doesn't hit you, spitting in the direction of someone is arguably the most disrespectful thing you can do.
Bro, on a baseball field where people spit 5 times a minute, that's still considered disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? On a basketball court, inside, totally gross, bro. Not cool.
All right, coming up next, if you're a meat eater, they're coming for you. We'll get to that. Plus, ESPN dropped the Lakers-Clippers starting five list that I want to touch on. And Cam Newton is thirst trapping. We'll talk about it all with Clinton Yates in the next segment. We're back in less than 3 minutes. Sedona with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and the water. See how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or progressive.com. Clint Yates hangs out with us for another segment. Dave McMiniman will join us at 11:30. So I mentioned, if you're a meat eater, they're coming. So the New York Times has an op-ed today, Clinton, that says, if you care about the working poor, about racial justice, and about climate change, you have to stop eating animals, says the author. I want to find you one of the quotes as well in this story. About the environment. I want to make sure I get this right. It says, we cannot protect our environment while continuing to eat meat regularly. Cows produce an enormous amount of greenhouse gas. If cows were a country, they would be the third largest greenhouse gas emitter in the world. Now, here's what I would say. Now, I am a fan of plant-based meats. I have become more of a plant-based meat eater. I have included it in my diet. I think mostly for me, it's, you know, look, I love the environment. I'm all about the environment. I grew up in an area where, you know, it may turn into Venice, Italy, in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. So like, where have they have water taxis? So like, that stuff bothers me. But despite that, and being a fan of the plant-based products like Beyond Meat, I just don't think this is very realistic, like on a number of different fronts, but on the most basic of levels, beyond the economic impact, you're just not changing people's eating habits like that right. from one day to the next.
Right. People like meat too much. That's the main thing, is that the desirability element is way too high. But and not to get too far off into sort of a social, you know, geopolitical sense, but like it always seems to me that the people who want to try to convince those to not eat meat or that it's like some sort of a smart idea are people who just don't know farmers. People have no idea what the farming in the agricultural community is like in this country, to the point that they don't understand what kind of impact you would be having on large swaths of America if all of a sudden meat production was just not something we were in the business of doing. I just don't think that people realize how impactful that would be on our larger economy, well beyond the taste. And that's not to say it's not a good reason, but the goal for me is not ever eliminating anything if you're not talking about something that's obviously, you know, on a different level, but maintaining some level of sustainability. I'm not trying to live in a world where eating meat is not even an option. No, thank you. And it better be that beef, be that pork, be that goat, as we were talking about earlier, or lamb, whatever it may be. Bergman doesn't know anything about goat curry, but we're teaching him today.
Yeah, you
know,
that's a Caribbean thing, Bergman. You got
to
learn.
I want to be able to have choices. You know what I'm saying? It's about writing off everything that has to do with eating meat, whether or not it's sustainable or not. I don't know. That just makes for a bunch of unhappy people. And at that point, what's the point of even being alive? Come on, y'all.
Laura, you wanted to chime in here. Laura?
Sorry. I actually had a question for you. Because when I went to DR, Dominican Republic, they told me I had to try goat. I don't know if I could say the word, but goat booty. And have you guys tried that? They're like, you have to. I was like,
I got to admit that when I order various things that have to do with goat, I do not know where on the goat the meat is coming from. So
correct.
I'm not the one to ask this. I'm not familiar with the cuts of the goat as they make it into the curry or as they make it into the dish, whatever it may be. But goat is delicious, and I'm not going to stop eating it anytime soon. That is for sure.
By the way, speaking of goats, I was on a trail yesterday in Palos Verdes, and there was a herd of goats. So, yeah. I didn't realize it.
Did you just let them pass? Did you pet? Did you take pictures? How did you handle this?
Nah, I just let them keep eating the grass. Like that was just kind of the deal. So they were just there, and I was like, "Hey, I ain't messing with you. You don't mess with me. We're cool." You know what I'm saying? Like that's just kind of the way it works.
There herding the goats.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, but I have looked this up, Laura. That it is a delicacy. Is the and it actually is a it says here. A delicacy from Morocco originally.
Ah bon? In Maroc. That's cool. I'm down with that. So wait, what was the situation you were in under which you were forced to try this, Laura?
Okay,
where were you?
So I went to Punta Cana for my 30th birthday, and I went out of the resort because I actually wanted to see the country.
The real Dominican Republic.
Exactly. This is Jared Dudley leaving Disneyland, by the way.
Yes, that was you. You left quarantine.
I did. You know what? I had a good time. So they told me, you have to try this goat meat, and I said, I don't think I can. They're like, no, you want the real experience of DR, you have to try it. And I did, and it was actually, I can't believe, it was really good. I was like, I never want to know if you give it to me again, but it was delicious. So
how was it presented? Was it like on a plate? Was it in a bowl? Was there a stew? Were people laughing at you? Like, what was the scenario?
No, it's like a thing. And actually, when I went to New York last year, they actually had a Dominican restaurant that serves it. It was very different. So in DR, I had it more like grilled and stuff. So it's like grilled, and then you had rice with it. And then in New York, I had it more like a stew. So it's, I guess they can do it in different
ways. Yeah, you can do it in different ways, for sure.
Does that not sound like some bit, like a bit of a prank that like the locals pull on people just to see?
Oh, for sure. There's no question that
they videotape them.
Let's see what this American thinks about all this. Yeah, exactly. Let's see if we can convince them. Speaking of convincing, I've had to have some convincing about some of the stuff we've been doing at ESPN.com with the all-time starting fives. On some of these teams. I don't know if you've seen them all. We've done like these lists where, you know, everyone is kind of.
I've seen some all team lists, and I'm looking now for the Lakers Clippers one you brought.
So I'll start with the Clippers because the Lakers is really hard. Like, I think you can make a million different arguments in a lot of different directions, right?
Three teams, yeah.
Right, exactly, because it's just the history is there. But the Clippers one, I feel like it's somewhat definitive. So their starting five, Clippers all time starting five is Chris Paul, Kawhi Leonard, Blake Griffin, Elton Brand, and Bob McAdoo. Now, again, there's not a ton of history there. So, I mean, they're all good players and great players. Like, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, all you need to know about the Clippers, and look, I am a fan of what they do and a fan of their front office, and I think what they accomplished this offseason was tremendous, and they deserve a lot of credit. But if you're already putting Kawhi Leonard on your list, what does that say about your history?
Yeah, the Clippers are the exact franchise that this bit does not work well for. Because not only do they have kind of an awkwardly like long but short history in that they've been around for a long time but not really that long, they also don't really have any long stretch of quality players because, hello, they're the Clippers. And I was listening to, you know, you and Momo talk about this the other day in terms of like how Donald Sterling used to run their trades and all of that nonsense. Like, they were never going to have any good players. Like, I have a feeling that, like, I wonder what the top five players that probably should have been on the Clippers list would be if you look back over the years and all the trades and all the different transactions that didn't happen that probably could have brought somebody who was really good to that uniform. But, you know, the thing is, let's not forget, if they get back to Disneyland, the Clippers roster right now versus the Lakers roster right now is actually the discussion, and that is why I want to see them get back to playing basketball.
You know, it's interesting, speaking of that bubble, and I'll get to the Lakers starting five that ESPN compiled in a second. Mark Lazary, who's one of the owners of the Bucks, says that it's going to be two sites, that it's going to be that his understanding is the East will be in Disney World and the West will be in Vegas.
I love
at least to his knowledge. So
I kind of like that. And I told you my main thing I need out of this, George, I need wall-to-wall programming that isn't just basketball. Put a camera in every hotel lobby. Put a camera at every single practice gym in every single locker room so that we can see these chalk talks, we can see these discussions, and NBA TV can show us what this actual life is like, because that will be instructive as much as it will be entertaining. That, to me, is a huge part of this. Don't just close everything off so that we can't even
give us
see
access.
It. Yeah. Yes, give us access, man, because we really want to know and we need the entertainment. Please let that be a part of this discussion.
I heard Bill Simmons talking about this on his podcast with Ryan Russillo last week, and they and I agree with Bill because I've actually talked about this too because of the way the G League does their winter showcase in Vegas. At the G League winter showcase, for those that don't know what that is, it's basically like their in-season tournament, and they compete for a prize, like a monetary prize. And at that tournament, there's no fans. It's just executives and team personnel. And I've called the action for that particular tournament the last 2 years with PJ Carlissimo. And the first game that we do, both years we've said the exact same thing. Wow, it's a little strange doing this game without any fans, right? And but what ends up happening is shortly thereafter you start to kind of highlight some of the sounds that you hear that you would never hear during a game. if right. there was an audience there, because you just wouldn't be able to hear it physically. The microphones would probably not be able to pick them up because of the conversations that are being had amongst players, the conversations amongst coaches. Like, you could hear the barking of instructions. Like, I think it could be a fascinating twist for the NBA if they let the mics just pick up all that stuff.
Totally agreed. And not just even in game context is what I'm saying. Like, in the
no, I know. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Would be unbelievable. Like, that to me is almost a no-brainer on some level. But if you include the rest of the life, I really think you could have something. And I think, George, as you know, having been around the game and being a close part of it, people might like it better. You know what I mean? If they know a little something about what goes into each production, each game, each preparation, beyond just showing up to the gym and putting on your uniform.
So here is the Lakers starting five list that ESPN came up with. They have Magic Johnson, Jerry West, Kobe Bryant, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Shaquille O'Neal as their starting five. Look, as you said, you could probably make three teams with the Lakers. LeBron, not enough time. And look, I get it. I wouldn't put LeBron on this all-time starting five. Yeah. He hasn't done enough as a Laker yet. So, but it is a pretty incredible list.
That's an amazing list. I mean, I can't think of, I mean, that's a list better than the Dream Team. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't think of a franchise. I mean, you can say the Celtics, but like, if we're being real in terms of acute basketball ability, is it really getting higher than that? I'm not sure.
Absolutely not.
Not at all. I mean, no. You might get guys who go back farther who are a little bit dominant in different eras, but that is what makes the Lakers the Lakers. That's why the statues outside of the Staples Center matter. Is because when you really do look at the creme de la creme and the top of the top, if the worst guy perhaps is the logo, you know you're dealing with an incredible franchise in American sports history, never mind basketball.
Yeah. All right, couple quick ones on the way out. Cam Newton's thirst trapping to NFL teams. He's putting out pictures and videos of him throwing, like, hey, I don't know if you see me over here. I'm throwing, and I'm throwing all right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking good, throwing the ball. What do you make of Cam thirst trapping to NFL teams?
Three things about that quickly. Number one, who's taking those photos? Number two, his gym workout situation looks incredible. And number three, we know you want to get seen because the photos are in black and white, Cam. Come on now. This isn't art school. It's the middle of the daggone summer. Just take a color picture on your iPhone 11 just like everybody else.
And lastly, a discussion we had earlier. I was watching The American President last night. I like it. I like it because it's the only rom-com with a president, I believe.
Does Dave qualify as such? Maybe
Dave.
Maybe.
Dave qualifies. Who are your top five TV or film presidents?
Oh, this is tough. But the number one has to be from In the Line of Fire. That's probably the best one. But actually, that's
Clint Eastwood.
What am I talking
movie.
About? Oh my god, I totally blank. Stop it. Number one, Harrison Ford, and the reason why it's so good is because what's his name? Who's the Russian dude? He says, "I not only have your cabinet, I not only have your wife, I not only have your daughter, but I have your baseball glove." And Harrison Ford's like, "You know what? I gotta kill this guy. You don't just steal my entire cabinet and my daggone mitt. You're going down. All right, Gary.
Get off my plane."
Exactly. Harrison Ford is a lead pipe lock number one. I don't know how I forgot about that, but I definitely didn't forget it the whole time.
Okay. So he's your lead pipe number one.
I'm fired up just thinking about that. Never steal somebody's baseball glove. That is a complete not okay thing to do. Oh.
Where is Martin Sheen in the West Wing?
Martin Sheen, you know what? I was not a big West Wing guy.
Oh,
kind of boring.
Wow.
Not going to lie. Okay. A little bit of a boring show. I needed a little bit more action in my life in the 90s. And you got to remember, when I grew up, the real life president in Bill Jefferson Clinton was doing way more than any of those idiots ever were in terms of keeping me entertained.
How about Dennis Haysbert? 24.
Dennis Haysbert is a good one, but Dennis Haysbert to me is still Serrano, the big left-handed bat from the Tribe in Major Leagues 1 and 2. So that's a little bit, there's a little bit of a discrepancy there from a role standpoint. I'm trying to think of who else is really good.
Yeah. Oh, Dave, you mentioned, right? Kevin
Dave
Klein.
Dave was good.
Right.
Dave was a funny movie.
How about Bill Pullman, Independence
Bill
Day?
Bill Pullman was fantastic in Independence Day. Bill Pullman, by the way, was in the news the other day. Bill Pullman looking good at his age. Kind of a gray fox kind of a look, if you haven't seen that. He was quoted about saying something. But no, Harrison Ford, top of the heap by a mile. Only because he kills Gary Olsen over his baseball glove.
Clint Yates, get off my show. Your time is up.
Love it. See you guys.
All right, man. Take care. There he is, Clint Yates. Follow him on Twitter @Clint Yates. Coming up next, McMiniman. He was on that call with Jared Dudley. We'll ask him about that and what his thoughts are on this potential of leaving the bubble. McMiniman in 3 minutes. Sit down with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. David Gundeman going to join us here in a second. Happy birthday to Biggie, man. We miss you. By the way, if you miss any one of our interviews, even if you have to run now for some reason and can't catch Dave, or if you miss Clinton or any of our interviews during the week, you can check out our interview on demand section of the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you find your podcast. Brought to you by Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. What's in your wallet? So tomorrow, Greg, we're going to have Martin Jarmond. Is that how you pronounce the name of the new UCLA AD?
Jarmond, yeah, that sounds right to me. I'm not positive about
it. Okay. I mean, you're a UCLA guy. I would imagine you would know how to pronounce the
name. I see the name. I haven't heard him actually say it yet.
Okay.
But yeah, but that's. I'm really excited about this hire. I think it's a different hire for UCLA. They went away completely from going for the UCLA guy that was in the front office.
He's young, right?
Yeah, he's out of the
just
family.
Just like USC did when they hired Mike Bone, our buddy.
Yeah. Yes, he has experience at Ohio State, at Michigan State as associate AD. He was the overall AD at Boston College. He's young. I don't know how many black ADs there are in college sports, but UCLA has
many,
one now.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So I think this sounds like a great hire.
Yeah. So 10:30 tomorrow, the new UCLA AD, Martin Jarmond, will join us. Mina at 11. And then Ben, of course, for our weekly movie review. Maybe we'll have Ben do the president's thing. Since we've been talking about that today. So McMiniman is here. McMiniman had the story on the Zoom call with Jared Dudley, which we'll ask him in just a second. But I've got other things to ask you, McMiniman. Number one, have you seen this story from NASA where they have evidence that there could be a alternate universe, a parallel universe? And if that indeed is the case, what is Dave McMiniman's Bizarro McMiniman doing in that parallel universe? Like, what does he do for a living?
Oh, wow. I guess in the Bizarro universe, we don't have coronavirus, and I'm at an NBA game covering it.
That's what, right. Maybe you're on the court balling, McMiniman. We know you're a baller.
Right? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's a 6-2 and under league, and I made the cut.
Look, if Jerry McNamara could win a national championship at Syracuse, you could have won one in an alternate universe. Why not?
I just think it's fitting that with everything that's been going down in the world that we live in, like, it makes sense that this is an alternate universe. Like, this can't be real life. So I think NASA's on to something.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. I said, are we sure we're not living the one that's actually not running backwards? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. What the hell is going on here? And then, of course, another question for you. I was watching The American President yesterday because I don't want to watch news at night. I don't want to watch anything that makes me think. So I want to watch a movie I've seen a million times. So yesterday it was The American President I found on, like, Showtime. And I want to ask you your top five TV or movie presidents. Who are they?
Oh, okay, this is a good one. I'll go with Dave, Kevin Kline, I think where the actor was.
Yep.
It's a movie named Dave. I was excited about that when I was a kid.
Right.
The guy in the State Farm commercials. He played.
Oh, yeah. Haysbert, right? Yeah. Pedro Serrano from Major League in 24. Yes. Yeah.
He has a very presidential tone to him. Independence Day.
Oh, Pullman.
Pretty sure Pullman. Yep.
Yeah. Bill Pullman.
Pullman in that.
Yeah.
That's three.
He learned to fly the alien ship. Let's not forget that. Yes.
Yeah. He had the rugged president addition to the rundown.
Yeah.
And two more. I think that could be tough on me. I'm blanking on movies that.
Okay. How about it could be TV too. So we mentioned Haysbert. How about. How about Selena Meyer, Julia Louis-Dreyfus? She was the president at one point.
So it's funny. I assume at some point in the series she becomes president. I just restarted watching that because I stopped around season two or three.
Oh.
I'll just start.
Sorry, spoiler alert.
It's okay. But yeah, definitely. She gets that title and she's hilarious. That show is so well done. The writing is so sharp. I've watched the first season over the last couple of days. I don't
How about Harrison Ford? Harrison Ford, Air Force One? Get off my plane.
Never seen it.
What? Oh my God! How have you never seen this movie?
I don't know. It's weird. I'm a movie guy too, but I just have never seen it.
McMiniman, you have homework for the next time you're on. You need to find a time to watch Air Force One. First of all, I don't recall. I have to look into this. Bergman, look into this real quick. You know, obviously Harrison Ford was in those Jack Ryan movies, right? So Clear and Present Danger, and then there was the other one that I forget, Patriot Games. Don't believe that Air Force One is in that same series. I could be wrong about that. But yeah, it is fantastic. Like there's so many like funny, like action 90s things happening in that movie that you have to watch it. Like it's just for the comedic effect on top of the fact it's just a good old school action flick, but there's so much unintentional comedy that you watch now. It's fantastic. You have to watch it.
Okay, I got you. And Harrison Ford, he's pretty great, so yeah. I'm down for that.
Yeah, he's very presidential, I would say that. And then the other one people are chiming in on is Martin Sheen in The West Wing.
Okay. John Ireland swears by that series. I've watched episodes. I haven't seen the full thing, but gotcha. Yeah, it didn't come to mind right away.
All right, fair enough. Jared Dudley, so I saw the Zoom call. I read your story. I would say that there are a number of things that are concerning to me, Dave, and again, I know this isn't Jared saying that he would do this, but this notion that players will be allowed to leave is concerning to me as far as the bubble atmosphere. Because whether, you know, my guess is Adam Silver and the league would prefer everyone stay, and it's the Players Association who may be pushing back on that particular concept. But one would have to assume that you are running a real risk of not only harming people from a health perspective, but just from a pure sports perspective, you're ruining your chances of your team to win. Like, I think that even, like, if a player on my favorite team did that and left the bubble or campus atmosphere, I would be furious. Like, why do you think that that is something that the Players Association is fighting for?
Yeah, I would assume it would have something to do with the, you know, civil liberties of their players and that not wanting to have the strict no exit policy in case there are extenuating circumstances like a player's wife or girlfriend is having a baby or there's a death in the family and they'd like to go to a funeral or something like that. Now, I just think if you have that rule open, you could have people using it in a frivolous manner. And that's basically what Jared Dudley said. Jared Dudley said, like, hey, every team's got a Dennis Rodman. Now, obviously, any player who does it would try to keep it under wraps, and any player that contracted the coronavirus, either in or outside the bubble, Jared Dudley believes it would be detected rather quickly because there's just going to be a multitude of testing going on while you're in the bubble. But to me, it's like, why do a bubble if you're going to have that rule? You're putting everything at risk. Cause, you know, Jared made the point that, hey, just because that rule is going to exist, we're going to have our own Laker rules because we want to win the championship, so we're not going to have AD or LeBron go anywhere, which is all well and good, but it doesn't matter if LeBron and AD don't go anywhere if their opponents are going somewhere and picking up something and you know, putting them at risk. So I think there's some problems there, and actually part of me was glad that Jared said it and it got the attention it did, because it gives some time for Michelle Roberts and Adam Silver, if they weren't already thinking about it, to recognize that, hey, we got to make sure we have this thing all ironed out before we go into it, because what's the point of doing it if we're just going to shoot ourselves in the foot by having a policy that could compromise the entire operation?
Dave McMiniman joining us here, ESPN NBA insider, Lakers insider. So I actually would take it a step further. Now, I don't know how Michelle Roberts of the Players Association would feel about this, but my theory on it is this. If we're going to do this, okay, and everyone's going to get into their bubble atmosphere, whether that's in two spots or one spot or whatever, what I think you should do, since there's going to be a ramp up and there's going to be individual workouts and then a formal training camp, et cetera, why not have the last 2 weeks of whatever formal training camp at the bubble site? That way, guys get tested immediately, right? And if there is an issue, then you can quarantine those guys before games actually start, and you impact, or there's less of a likelihood to impact games at that point. Like, why wouldn't that be something that at least has been discussed?
I'm not so sure it hasn't been discussed, because is a term that's being used when you talk to people, you know, you talk to front office people, agents, et cetera. They're starting to say in-market and out-of-market players. And so if you're already going to have, you know, in the case of the Lakers, you know, let roughly five of their guys are out-of-market. So it's a third of their team. And if you're going to have that be the case, and they're going to get on a flight, why get on two flights? Why not just have them meet for training camp at the bubble versus training camp in L.A.? Now, the kind of the pushback against that is, like, you're going to need ample court time. And are any of these bubbles ready to not just host games and shuffle out maybe two games, three games a day on either court, but also practice time?
And well, I'll tell you this.
I'll
tell you this about Orlando. The site there has a ton of indoor courts, like regulation, NBA size. Like, I know this because I've seen it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been there at the Wide World of Sports Complex. I've been there where they do the NBA Junior competition. Like, they have, at least there, I don't know about Vegas, right? Like, I know I've been to, I've done the G League showcase, so I know they have a couple of courts running there concurrently, and they probably could add a few more. And separate them. But I know in Orlando, you can absolutely pull that off if you had to.
Yeah, and I guess another point that Jared brought up, which I think is salient, and why you would want players to go to their team's facilities for the training camp is, Jared was like, our training camp will be just as much about getting in the training room and getting in the weight room as getting on the court. Mm. And, you know, I don't, again, either bubble, I guess you could move these type of you know, equipment to there to accommodate it, but like the Lakers training facility has hot tubs and cold tubs and cryotherapy and all sorts of modality equipment that I doubt they would be able to easily replicate in another place.
That's fair. Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of just kind of the, once you get into the on-court stuff, right? Like, you know, just to avoid a potential situation where, you know, you could have guys test positive, but before they arrive at the bubble site. Do you believe it's going to be two sites? Like, do you buy into that theory?
It's funny you ask that, because if you asked me this 2 days ago, it seemed like Orlando was the where things were headed towards, and it was like that would be the place. But, you know, obviously Zach Lowe, Adrian Wojnarowski have been all both on top of this story as we've gone through it, and their latest reporting is still stating the two-pronged system where you have Vegas and Orlando. And so I guess by the sheer number of teams, that seems to make more sense. Now, that does open up kind of another question, just like your training camp question is, like, why do you want to do the additional travel by not having training camp in the bubble? Well, why do you want to have the additional travel of, say, you have a team out of the West from Vegas and a team out of the East from Orlando? Now, where do you play the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I think you probably just do it in Orlando just because you can accommodate more people. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe you can allow families at the NBA Finals. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's so complicated. We've talked about this. It's like a moving target. There's a lot of things. But yeah, you're going to have to figure out where the one site is, because you have to get the two winners of their respective conferences to do that. Let's tackle a couple of the other questions here. Do you expect regular season games, Dave?
I'm not sure if I would use that nomenclature. They could be regular season games. They could be considered exhibition games. They could be considered play-in games.
Okay.
I do expect games before playoff games.
Gotcha. Okay, fair. Do you believe there would be a play-in tournament? And I don't want to put you in a situation where, like, people want to aggregate you and stuff like that. Like, would you? I'll ask it this way: would you want to see a play-in tournament?
I mean, I think it's a possibility, just because Adam Silver, it was reported by Adrian Wojnarowski that he kind of mentioned that possibility on a call and with players. And so, if it's being bandied about, I would like to see it. And Dudley kind of spoke about this on the call yesterday, where he was like, listen, I get it. Like, you know, the Portland Trailblazers would want more regular season games to give them a chance to catch the eighth seed. And the Memphis Grizzlies would not want necessarily a play-in tournament because they have a 3.5 game lead right now for the eighth seed. But it's bigger than the Blazers and it's bigger than the Grizzlies. And if anything you can do with this, you know, patchwork scenario to generate more interest, generate more revenue, that's going to be good for everybody because the more money they recoup means the more money that these players will be able to be paid down the line. And beyond just the financial part, because I don't really want to talk about players' financial struggles when a lot of people are in much more dire situations. But I think the fan intrigue thing, piece of it, to me, makes it worthwhile. I'd like to see a one-and-done type of scenario, not for the NBA Finals, unless it's a Game 7, but to get into the playoffs. You know, every once in a while, this comes down to the last game of the regular season. I think Denver and Minnesota had one a couple of years ago, and it just happened to break that way. It was great to watch, and I think that would be a fun precursor to the playoffs.
But you know that Mark Cuban is going to be furious if his seventh seed, who's clearly outplayed the rest of that group, has to play and gets bounced. Like, you know that's going to be a disaster waiting to happen.
That's true, but hey, you know, let's go, Luka. Let's go, Kristaps. Like, win a game and get in.
Yeah. Would you like to see all the series played to seven, or do you think that we need to speed it up?
I want them all seven. I mean, yeah. It seems that they feel like they have enough time to do that as long as we get June 1st, hey, gather your players, start training camp by June 15th, finish training camp by July 1st, play some sort of games by the first week of July. Like, it seems like Adam Silver believes they have enough time for seven games. So, you know, I want to do as many things as we can with safety precautions, of course, in order to assign a champion that feels worthy, that feels right. If you start doing things like, you know, cutting down the length of the series, I think you could compromise that. Bill Simmons had a good suggestion on his pod recently with Ron Russillo, where he said, what if you're up 3-0 in the first round, just in the first round, and that constitutes a sweep? No need to play a fourth game if you're already up 3-0 in the first round. Yeah. I actually think that was a good idea. But beyond that, I wouldn't really want to make any dramatic changes.
Like a mercy rule, almost, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So who's going to draw the assignment of having to ask LeBron about Paul Pierce's top five? Is that you?
Yeah, I mean, Paul's a colleague, so I don't want to, you know, put myself in a tough spot here. I just, do you really need to have dignify everything with a response? Like, I don't know. I mean,
yeah. No, listen, I'm with you. I love Paul, but he's out of his mind. Like, get out of here.
It's a little wild, and I think I saw a graphic somewhere that he had changed it recently, where at some point he had included a top five that had LeBron in it.
Yeah, I did see that on, I think on First Take, I want to say, or maybe or maybe on that same video. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But I do have the best worst president for you.
Oh, okay.
Frank Underwood. Loved watching him.
Yeah.
Possible character, but loved watching him.
That's a good one. That is a good one. I like that. I like that. I like that you brought that to the table there. Look at that. way to close it out, McMiniman. Excellent, excellent job.
In the back of my mind the entire time, I'm like, who is the guy I'm forgetting? I'm like, that's the presidential show I enjoyed the most.
For sure. All right, McMiniman, stay safe, man. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, George.
See you, man. There he is, Dave McMiniman. All right, so a lot to unpack there. Plus, Aaron Rodgers is human, just like us. Yeah, for real. Think about it this way. Aaron Rodgers realizes he's not different than you or me. I'll tell you what that means in 90 seconds. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Dave McMiniman for joining us there. We only got a couple minutes here, so thank you guys for tuning in today. Thanks to Dave for stopping by. Thanks to Clinton for stopping by. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to Laura. So I want to get to this Aaron Rodgers story real quick. But before that, following the breakout success of The Last Dance, this is reported by The Hollywood Reporter, ESPN has ordered another docuseries about an athlete considered the greatest in his sport, Tom Brady. What do you think of a Tom Brady docuseries, Bergman?
I mean, if they get into the stuff that happens with the inside stuff that happens with the Patriots, could be really interesting.
Course. You've got to now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, I don't want to like it, but I think I'm going to watch it.
Right. If you get into Spygate and Deflategate, right?
Like, right.
Yeah. You know, that, like, to me, those have to be two monster chapters. Without that, then it doesn't matter. But look, we're not going to do anything at ESPN without getting into that stuff. You may not like the answers that Tom has or Jordan had, but we clearly dove into all that stuff. Like, it can't be off limits.
Now, I don't want to – now, how much do you think they get into the TB12 and, like, learning how he got his mind to start thinking that if he drinks enough water, he doesn't get sunburned?
I mean, that's not real. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I
that's what he says. That's what he says.
I know, but it is true. You actually you do. If the more water you drink, it's like a scientific fact. Like, he's not making that up.
That's a scientific fact that if I just drink a ton of water, I can go outside without sunscreen and not get sunburned.
No, Bergman, it doesn't mean you're not going to get sunburned. It means that you're going to get less sunburned because your body is hydrated.
Okay. All right.
That's what it means.
All right. Fine. But that just sounds just silly to me. His TB12 sounds silly. No, just what, because the way that he put it was, it sounded like it was to drink water and you won't get sunburned.
Well, his theory to everything is drink water, basically. But I mean, that's right. Kind of like all of it. You know what I mean? But sunburns draw fluid from the skin's surface here, it says, and away from the body. Be sure to drink plenty of water and sports drinks to replace lost body fluids and replenish electrolytes. That will help your burn help heal more quickly and also help potentially prevent some of your burn.
Okay. All right. So if it's scientific, I believe it. I believe science, George.
Okay, it's not wrong. So Aaron Rodgers. So we didn't get to this story in real time. It happened late last week. But he was asked about the Jordan Love thing. And he said his general reaction at first was surprise. And like many people, I'm not going to say I was thrilled with the pick. He's like, but when he was asked about like his future with the Packers, Bergman, he said, you know, it feels like maybe that's not going to happen, like me ending with them. And he's come to the realization that we all come to. When we work somewhere nowadays, you may not stay there forever. You know, like that's just life as a normal human being. And even in sports, and someone like him, who is arguably the greatest that ever play at his position there. And he's got two other guys to compete against. You know, those guys got ushered out, too. And at least Favre did. So it's no different.
Yeah, it's rare to stay in one spot. Look at Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice did not end with the 49ers. He didn't even end with the Raiders. He ended with the Seahawks.
Denver Broncos, actually.
Oh, Broncos. Yeah, Broncos.
I think the Broncos, yeah. All right, we're done here. Thanks again to Laura. Thanks again to Greg, Clint, and Dave. Thank you guys for tuning in and calling in. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. See you.